And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Maui Jim Sunglasses, the choice of the best captains. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray and rock god Rick Maxa.
Welcome back. Hour number two. Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. Pete Gray here. Rock god Rick Maxa's here too in the Mighty 1090 studio. And Mr. Bill Varnay, our surf fishing expert, is right here. Wrote the book on surf fishing, Fish the Surf. And the website, fishthesurf.com, and has his own rod series and the whole deal, right?
Beautiful rod, too, and how cool is that? And if you're one of the very, very lucky people calling into the radio show today, you're going to have a chance of winning that awesome rod. And it's a rod made by the Cousins Tackle Company and the Bill Varnay Surf Fishing Series. It is a really, really high-end spinning rod. Like I said, we carry them in the shop. I'm very familiar. They are awesome rods and a very cool prize for one lucky person at the end of the show today. And if you want to get through, have a question of Bill, or join us on Let's Talk Hookup this morning, there's two ways that you can do that. First, again, is our local line. That's 858 area code 457-1090, or call us toll-free. That number's 877-792-1090.
All right, let's go ahead and jump into those phones, Rick. They've been patiently waiting for us.
You're not kidding. How about we talk to Rob calling us from Michigan this morning? Rob, that's a long way from the surf.
Merry Christmas, Bill, Pete, and Rick.
Thank you.
Merry Christmas to you, too.
Bill, you got a great book. I've read many books about surf fishing. You got the best explanation on moon phase, tides, and current, and all that. And you explain it really good.
Thank you, Rob. Really appreciate that.
I got a line question for you. You talk about using white line all the time unless you're fishing rocks. Convince me of why to stay so light. Now, what are the benefits of it?
I'm sorry. Didn't quite hear your question. Could you repeat it for me?
You talk about using light line all the time other than like fishing rocks when you can bump your line up. Most guys have the theory, you know, a heavier line, the better you are in case you get a big bite. And you talk about staying with a light line. What are the benefits of that?
Well, one of the reasons I like the light line is it's much easier to fish with. When you're using much lighter baits and lighter rigging, it's much easier to cast. And one thing about surf fishing is I would say 80% of the fish are within about 60 feet of shore. They're not a long cast away, but they need to be an accurate cast, and it's much easier to do on the lighter line. Another thing is, of course, you're fishing for fish that are anywhere from maybe 6 ounces to 12 pounds. So in that grade of fish, you're not going to want to be fishing 20 and 30 and 40-pound tests like we used to in the past. You want to downsize your test. And we thought about this a lot over the years, and really the conclusion we came to is that fish in the surf are very close to the same size as fish you'd find in a lake. If you were to go out in a lake and use a Jigmaster with 40-pound test and a 4-ounce sinker and a 12-foot rod, probably wouldn't catch too much. So when you go down to the surf, you want to downsize your equipment and try to match it up with the size of fish you're fishing. So if I was fishing the smaller fish, 10 pounds and less, I'd probably be fishing 4 or 6-pound test. If I was fishing big sharks or off the rocks, then I'd upsize my line anywhere from 12 to 60-pound braid, depending on what I'm doing.
What's light line to Bill Varnay?
Light line to me would be 6-pound test.
6-pound.
I normally fish 6-pound test all the time. I used to fish 4 a lot, but I don't have as much confidence in myself as I used to. So I fish 6 now.
And Lucky Crafts are $25 a piece.
That's right. And I always wear my swim trunks when I fish those Lucky Crafts.
Exactly.
Hey, hope that helps you out. Thanks for calling us from Michigan there, Rob. Probably listening to us on the web. You can do that on our website, hookup1090.com. On the front page, you see a radio antenna. You just click that radio antenna. It takes right to the Mighty 1090 website where our Listen Live is. And, of course, you can always listen on our archives, too. 724, we have our archives page. Hookup1090.com, show archives. You can listen back almost 2 years.
Pretty cool, man.
Yeah.
Very cool. Hey, let's jump right back into them. They're packed up. Rich and Bradley, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Rich.
Good morning, Rich.
And Merry Christmas to you guys.
Same to you.
Thank you.
Yeah, Bill, I'm really glad you made it in. And before you got here, a lot of the conversation was on the local halibut and one guy talked about going scuba diving and seeing the bottom paved with them. And I'm hoping maybe you could help dial me in to when I want to target inshore surf fishing halibut and maybe some of the details of how I should rig and the presentation.
Okay, great. That's an excellent question. There's
a number
of different ways, certainly, to rig for them. But first of all, looking for halibut. Where are we going to find them, and when are we going to find them? Normally, halibut will come in and spawn in the spring and the fall time. And they will normally look for an area like a harbor entrance, an estuary, somewhere where they can come into calmer water in order to forage and also to spawn. So probably the best times of year would be from the end of the Fred Hall show to the middle of June, and then through the month of September and October. Those are going to be some of your better times. The middle of the winter, we normally see them move offshore, the larger fish, although they are here all year long, and you can certainly catch them along the coast all year long. You do have the opportunity of finding them on the open beach, although that's a bit of a hit and miss. They're definitely there. But if you look for areas where you're fishing adjacent to jetties, harbor entrances, estuaries, things like that, where the incoming or the outgoing water, depending on the tide, meets the open ocean, you're going to find a lot more fish there because the bottom is being churned up, and that's the crabs and clams and the bait that they're eating. I think one thing that people forget a lot about halibut is because of their shape, they feed predominantly at slack tide periods, like at the bottom of the low or the bottom of the high.
Oh, that's a good call.
Yeah, so if I was to go to the beach and I was going to be fishing during the day, I'd be fishing perch and spotfin and yellowfin croaker when the tide is moving. And then a half hour before low tide or half hour after low tide, a half hour before high or half hour after high tide, I tie in a lucky craft, a Rapala or a Rapala, one of those three, a crocodile or a Castmaster, just like Gundy said. Castmasters are fantastic in the surf, and I fish for those at those slack tide periods. Because think about a halibut. If it is to come up out of the sand to go after a bait in, let's say, a medium rolling tide period, it's going to be like a kite. It's going to get sideways to that current, and that current's going to push it away. So they're lazy by nature. They want to wait till there's a calm period. And then as far as what I'm going to use to fish for them, well, there's certainly a couple of schools of thought there. More times than not in the past decade, guys have been catching them on lures. I think we'd see as many today caught on crocodiles and castmasters as we'd see on Rapalas, Rapalas, and Lucky Crafts, but more people are using those hard baits now than we're using in the past. So all three of those work. I like to use half-ounce and three-quarter-ounce crocodiles or castmasters, and the castmaster both in the chrome and the gold color. They both work. I use a gold color on a overcast day, a chrome color on a bright sunny day. And then as far as the Lucky Craft or the Rapala are concerned, you're looking for something that's about 120 millimeters in length, so about 6 inches, 5 to 6 inches long. You can either straight tie those to your line and cast them out, or you can use braid with about a 2 foot fluorocarbon 12 to 20 pound top shot.
So like a DT-16, do you want one that dives that far, a Rapala DT-16?
You do. You want something that's going to dive. It's either going to suspend itself near the bottom or dive all the way to the bottom. Uh-huh. The only thing you want to remember on those diving hard baits that will have a longer lip on them is if you're in a rocky or a kelpy area, don't take them all the way to the bottom. And a slow retrieve to the shore normally is a smart way to start.
Okay. And if you're retrieving like a DT, a Rapala, see, I said it. Rapala,
DT-16.
If you hit a rock, just stop, and it'll float back up, right?
Exactly. Exactly. They float. Now, many of these suspension baits, they won't come all the way up to the surface. They will float up from the bottom. But, yes, that's definitely one. Do you hit a rock or something, you want to just stop for a second. And if you do get hung up in some kelp, especially a kelp patty that's floating around making its way to shore, just be patient with it. Just reel it in as it's coming towards shore and get it up onto the sand and pull your lure out. If you pull hard on that, your line will break in those kelp and off your lure.
Why do you use a fluorocarbon leader when you're fishing like with PowerPro?
I like a fluorocarbon leader, especially not so much because of its invisibility, which we're told it's invisible. The way that it refracts light underwater is different than monofilament. But more important, it's abrasion resistant. And that's one thing we're dealing with all lures and them running along the sand on their way in, is that it will abrase the line right above the knot where it will have a great chance of breaking, either on a big fish or on a cast.
When you're surf fishing, are you carrying two rods with you or just one?
You know, sometimes we'll carry two rods with us, definitely. There used to be a rod holder out that went around your waist, and people have asked me for years if I know where I can find it. And I said, yeah, you can see it on eBay for about $200 now. There's so few of them out there. But, yes, I would normally carry two rods, one rigged up with a Rapala, Lucky Craft, a lure, and then the other one with a Carolina rig so I can perch and yellowfin and spotfin fish.
That's cool, man. That's great info.
Yeah, good stuff. Jeez. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, with that, speaking of good info, we're going to find out what's going on the water. Our man, our fishdope.com reporter extraordinaire, Dave Hansen, your saltwater guide, is on the line right now. What's up, Dave?
Hey, good morning, you guys. Good morning.
Morning, Dave.
Merry Christmas to everybody.
Are you on dry land?
Yes, we are.
Wow.
It was a little windy last night. We were supposed to be out fishing rock cod this morning, but my clients backed off. We're waiting now to go out on the boat parade tonight, but
very nice.
Here's what's been going on out there, guys. It's been really, really good lobster fishing over at Catalina again. I talked to Brandon, and they've been doing really good over there, lobster fishing up and down the coast. As soon as we get some rain here on the coast, I think that we'll do pretty good on the lobsters back on the coast here, up in the harbors, down in San Diego, up in Long Beach. We're just waiting for that rain. Also, the rockfish fishing's been very, very good. I was out rockfish fishing a couple days ago. 2 days ago, and we fished right out in front of Dana Point. It was very, very good there in 300 feet of water. Also, there's good rockfish fishing over at Catalina. I talked to a couple of my buddies that were over there on their skiffs. And there's also a guy caught a yellowfin tuna out on the 209 on, I believe it was Thursday. So there's still a little bit of fish hanging around, and who knows what's going to happen after this next big blow at the end of the week. I don't know what we're going to do this week, guys. We got one day of nice weather tomorrow, and then it's going to get really gnarly again. So maybe it's time to put your rods and reels in the rack, pull some line off, get ready, go rockfish fishing between Christmas and New Year's, and get ready to go buy me some presents for Christmas.
What do you want, Dave? What can we buy you?
I need some shoes.
A new pair of shoes.
Yeah, if you look at all my pictures, I don't have any shoes.
Well, that's right. I forgot about that. No shoes. Yeah. Well, let me give you a little tip, Dave. If you're listening to Let's Talk Hookup, that's next Saturday, we're going to have a couple of great guests. We have Dwayne Diego and John White from Dana Landing in Mission Bay, and we're going to be giving away a pair of Olakai shoes. So
well, there you go. I'll have to call in and talk to Dwayne.
There you go. How about that, huh? Well, Dave, of course, fishdope.com, and all joking aside, is the place.
No doubt, man.
What a great last-minute Christmas gift for somebody that likes to fish. Use the code HOOKUPNOW. You get it for $149. HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space. $169 for the complete year. You get $20 off $149. Make it a Christmas gift extraordinaire for your fishing buddy or your spouse or just somebody that wants to know what's going on. And how do we get a hold of you, Dave?
Yeah, if you guys would like me to come with you on your boat and show you how to do it, show you how to catch some fish, how to use all your electronics, you can give me a call at 949-374-0786, or you can look me up on the web at yoursaltwaterguide.com. Also, I got a 65 Hatteras we can get you out on if you need a boat to charter. So just give me a call, and we'll try to set you up with whatever you need.
Sweet. All right. Thanks, Dave. Merry Christmas to you. We'll talk to you next Sunday.
Thanks, Dave.
All right, guys. Check out the pictures. Kelly will be taking lots of pictures of the parade tonight, so check them out on Facebook, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
That's cool. All right.
Let's go ahead and jump back in the phone.
You got it, man. Kit from Lake Forest is standing by this morning. Kit, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hi, Kit.
Yeah, Bill, is your night fishing, do you catch a lot of fish nights compared during the day?
You know, I really prefer fishing in the day. Most surf fish bite during the day. There's a qualifier there for sure, but spotfin, yellowfin, croaker, perch, they're pretty much day biters. And you're going to find from sun up to sundown all day long, depending on the tide, it's a good time to fish for those. With that said, nighttime fishing is extraordinarily good for all sharks, certainly. We know as the striper world that the big striper have been caught at night. So there's benefits of both. I would definitely upsize my equipment at night, and I'd definitely be fishing for sharks. We used to commercially fish in the late 60s and early 70s for leopard sharks all up and down the coast here. And we used one rig, which was a 12-foot Calcutta. We would use a Jigmaster reel with about 40-pound test on it, a 6-0 hook, and a half a Bonito or half a mackerel. No sinker at all.
Okay.
And just fly line it out. We'd fish high tide going to low tide. And if you cast that, and you cast it fairly far because it's pretty heavy, it's about a pound or so to cast out there, and then leave it in free spool, that outgoing tide will pull that offshore for you. Before you know it, it's going to be picked up by one of those big leopard sharks. And I'm not talking about these 1 or 2 footers we normally catch with sand crabs in the surf. We're talking 30 and 40 pounders out there. They're all along our coast.
And how do you release those?
Well, you just bring them to shore. Of course, they have no teeth, thank goodness.
Oh, they don't?
They don't have teeth. They have kind of like a rough surface where their teeth would be. And you just unhook them and let them go. They're very, very strong fish. You could probably keep them out of the water half an hour and put them back in the water. They swim right away. Incredible fight. And actually fairly good eating fish. And it's a very, very healthy population of leopard sharks all up and down the coast.
That's awesome.
Cool. Good tip. Hey, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
All right. How about we talk to Tom? Caught us from San Diego this morning. Thanks for hanging in there with us this morning, Tom.
Good morning, Tom.
Yo, Tom.
Hello, good morning. Good morning.
There you are.
Yes, yes. Anyhow, first of all, I wanted to say I was happy to hear you had Jorge Tellez on down in Cabo. Went down last year and fished with him. I took a bottle of Johnny Walker Red. You go in that magnificent 43-footer, and he's got Johnny Walker Black up on the bar. And my question, though, is for your guest, what does he prefer to match up the rod with as far as a reel, and what are the more tasty surf fish?
Well, as far as rod and reel combinations, I'll normally fish a like a 2500 series or a 3000 series spinning reel, and I'll load that up with 6-pound monofilament. I normally will use Pink Andy as my favorite line. I like to use a colored line so I can see it easier. Exactly, kind of old school.
Yeah.
You know, the thing about that, Rick, about being old school is all of you guys, you've been keeping these secrets for years about this pink line working. You know, all the guys who fished over
love
Catalina,
the red,
the pink, it really works well in the surf, and it's certainly offshore, too. But we'll use about that size of reel, and we'll match it up with a 7 to 9 foot medium action rod. I think if you didn't have a surf rod, I'd probably look for a steelhead type of rod. And that's what we're going to use in the surf generally during the day when we're fishing the perch and the spotfin and the yellowfin. And then at night, I'm going to upsize it. I'm going to go to a 12-foot rod. I think, like Rick said earlier today, one of those white rods that somebody picks up from Kmart, and match that up with a bigger conventional reel, like around a Jigmaster size, Torium, Calcutta, any number of different bait casting reels, and then fish that at night.
There you go.
Man. Great info.
Good info. Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning.
Brian in Chula Vista, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Brian.
Thanks for joining
us. Morning, boys. Bill, Pete, and Rick. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.
Same to you.
Thank you, Brian.
At this time of year, you know, some people think of pine trees and snow glistening on the mountains. And I drove by Fisherman's Landing yesterday and saw the cowtails of the yellowfin tuna just overflowing out of the carts there at Lopresti Dunn Sport Fishing. And it was like the best winter sight ever. It was so
great. You got it, man.
So most of my questions that I was going to ask about halibut fishing from the surf have already been addressed, but I wanted to ask Pete and everybody, how is your lobster season going and if you're pulling up full hoop nets?
You know, I went a couple times in the bay this year, and one was very successful, had a good night. It's slowed down in the bay quite a bit recently, but I think, like Dave said, when we get some rain, I'll probably be back out there. Went the ultimate one was going with Brandon Hayward. We did a day and a half trip to Catalina, and oh man, it's so good.
It's
Catalina's the total spoiler, and one of the reasons Catalina's so good is they don't commercially fish the front side of the island. So therefore, and that's why Santa Monica Bay is so good, right? I mean, they don't commercially fish Santa Monica
Bay exactly
too. So wherever they can't commercially fish and you can legally hoop net, that's always a good place. The bays, Santa Monica Bay, and front side of Catalina. So yeah. So how about yourself?
It's been pretty good. I usually do a lot of it off the pier, and I tried the Shelter Island pier for the first time this year, thinking the mouth of the bay might work. But wow, the sea lions were heavier there than I've ever seen them, and even bit through my PVC tubes. So.
Oh no way!
Oh my god!
Wow. That's
so,
something.
I kind of took some of my extra bait and threw it out as far as I could away, and it distracted them long enough that I could get a few pulls and got one So not bad.
All right. There you go. Well, thanks for the report. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Sea lions in San Diego Bay are the worst. It's
horrible.
It's crazy. It is crazy
worse
how
than
bad
ever.
It is. Yeah, it's bad. Yeah. It's so bad.
Yeah,
I hate those things.
We're kind of hoping that the nature corrects itself, like when Craig Heber was on a couple weeks ago. We were talking about all the baby sea lion strandings and to just kind of leave them alone. That's called nature correcting itself, and we certainly hope that unnatural people don't step in there and try and correct nature for us.
I hope there's a lot of
absolutely
them.
Right.
Yeah. I hope there's a lot of correcting going down.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right. Mother nature got
to
work.
Right. Come on. All right. Well, hey, let's jump into the phones because they are still jam packed. How about we talk to Sam calling us from Irvine this morning? Hey, Sam, welcome to the show.
Morning, Sam.
Good morning. Hey, Bill. I got your book. I got it a long time ago. It's a great read.
Thank you.
But my question is, like, you know, you go in the tackle shop and everybody's showing their pictures and stuff. Some dude had a big old halibut in, like, a yellow plastic. Do you use plastics in the surf? And the other thing is, what natural baits do you prefer?
Well, yes, you could definitely use plastics in the surf. You know, think about surf fishing. The thing about surf fishing is just about any bait that is for any size of fish that's 20 pounds or less that you're going to find in freshwater or in saltwater, it's probably going to work in the surf.
It's applicable. Huh?
It is. And it makes a lot of sense to look through your tackle box and say, let me try this, let me try that. You'd be surprised at what people haven't tried, which will work.
But, oh, yeah. He had like a yellow plastic with all that grassy-looking collar on it. And I was like, yellow? Really okay?
Exactly. And that's the thing is, to be successful in surf fishing, you always want to match your lures to what baits occurred naturally in that area. So a good example of that would be if I was to go fishing off the beach down here normally and I was to cast out a 5-inch white swim bait, probably wouldn't catch anything. That's not normally what you're going to see swimming around in the surf. But if I'm up in Santa Barbara and there's just been or off of the Malibu area where there's just been a squid run, and I'm casting out a 5-inch bright white swim bait, it's amazing how well that works. So look at the rocks, look at the sand, look at the area around you where you're fishing. Try to find what lives there naturally, whether it's green and browns in sidewinder crabs or grays and off-whites with sand crabs or burnt orange and so forth on worms or mussel, and match your lures to that.
As they say in fly fishing, match the hatch. And I know this is not your deal, fly fishing, but fly fishing in the surf is incredible. And you get the proper equipment, you get the proper technique, you can catch a lot of fish on the fly in the surf.
Absolutely.
I've done it, and it's really fun.
There's quite a few guys up in the Huntington Beach area who fly fish up there.
Nothing like catching a corvina on a fly.
Oh, I bet.
They just rip you. Yeah, you know, I mean, it's really fun.
Absolutely.
An effective way to present, you know, an appropriate size bait to those things, too. You know, I mean, a lot of that surf perch and things like that and small things. So, yeah, cool way to do it.
Simple little Clouser minnow works really, really well. 250 grain sink tip striper style line, integrated line, 7-8 weight rod. That's all you need. It's very, very simple. Daryl, you can talk to the International Federation of Fly Fishermen. They're going to do a big presentation in January coming up that we'll be talking about on Let's Talk Hookup here coming the first of the year. So probably learn a lot more about that.
I like that. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. More phone calls, more catch report. You stay tuned. It's great stuff coming up. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
Inland Boat Center is the destination for your next boat. They've been around 35 years, so they're here to stay with something for everyone. Inland Boat Center has a giant inventory of all types of boats, including the perfect saltwater fishing boats made by Arima and Defiance. Inland Boat Center has a huge 2.5-acre indoor showroom with over 300 new and pre-owned boats, making them the largest boat store on the West Coast. Family-owned and operated, they are proud of their customer service. They take trades of all types. Come check out their inventory of Defiance boats from 20 to 29 feet, or the fantastic selection of the amazing Arima boats from 17 to 21 feet. Inland Boat Center has a full service department, fiberglass repair and upholstery department. Everything you need is under one roof at Inland Boat Center, 681 East San Jacinto in Paris. Check the website for the current inventory and more at inlandboatcenter.com.
If you've heard the advice Scott Sherman from Fifth Avenue Insurance has given anglers over the past couple of years, you know there is much more to your boat insurance than just a low rate. Well, Fifth Avenue Insurance can not only find you the lowest rates on your boat insurance, they also make sure the coverage you get meets all your needs. What if you had an accident with the boat and found out you didn't have proper coverage? Well, that just won't happen when you insure with Fifth Avenue Insurance. Call them for advice on your current boat policy or any of your insurance needs. Fifth Avenue Insurance, 619-640-3130, or check the number 5, THAVEINS.com.
Have you checked out the giant fast lane kayaks in Mission Bay yet? It's hard to miss right in the middle of Dana Landing across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. This massive 5,500 square foot location is loaded with Hobie Mirage Drive kayaks and all the accessories. They also have a great selection of Hobie clothing, stand-up paddle boards, paddles, and more. Check out the new model Hobie kayaks arriving daily and see the great deals on previous year's models. Even test a kayak or stand-up paddle board right out their back door on Mission Bay. When it comes to Hobie kayaks, no one does it better than the crew at Fast Lane Kayaks at Dana Landing across from SeaWorld in Mission Bay. Check FastLaneSailing.com.
When it comes to fishing rods for saltwater, there's just one name you need to know, CalStar. Take, for example, the Graphiter series. It's a true graphite and fiberglass composite rod, the finest it's ever been built. And for anglers seeking traditional performance, durability, and quality at an affordable price, the CalStar West Coast series of rods and blanks are the ones for you. Their master craftsmen bring decades of rod building experience to every rod they make. So if you want your fishing rods to be truly state-of-the-art, I always recommend CalStar at fine tackle stores everywhere.
Here's John Ireland for Rancho Leonero.
The main emphasis on the ranch, we're going to keep it old style. We're not going to change anything. We're just going to improve what we have. The kitchen is brand new. Brand new kitchen this year with all new kitchen equipment, new stoves, ovens. We put a new freezer in. We've put in all brand new split air conditioners with thermostats to make sure every room is cold. We've also worked on the boat fleet with a couple large lures, a 31 and a 34. We've got the largest Super Panga fleet on the East Cape, all with brand new Yamaha motors. Brand new beds. We've got all Serta beds, the best beds in Baja, I kid you not. We're working all the time at the ranch. We're not changing it, just making it a lot better. That's why we get the high TripAdvisor reviews. It's my responsibility. I got to take care of you. I'll personally guarantee your best fishing experience and vacation at Rancho Leonero. RanchoLeonero.com. Our new reservation phone number is 800-646-2252. 646 Baja.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090.
All right, phones are packed. They want to talk to Mr. Bill Varnay, surf fishing expert, so let's go ahead and jump into it.
Roy in San Diego, you're up next on Let's Talk Hookup. Roy, thanks for hanging in there with us.
Hey, thanks. Hey, guys, how are you doing this morning?
Great.
Up, Roy?
Thank you, Roy.
Great. You guys touched on a little earlier about fishing state beaches and stuff. Last couple of years I've been fishing San Diego every once in a while. And was trying to figure out what's legal there. Is it to fish and stuff and baits to use and stuff? Because I was told that it's okay to fish, but you can't use the sand crabs there. So if you have any information, that'd be helpful.
What I can tell you is that San Alejo towards Suami, so in the northerly direction, if you were to go to the sand and look to your right, there is some restrictions or closures there under the MLPAs. And as I said, if you go to my site or Department of Fish and Wildlife, you'll be able to see exactly what those are. And they are confusing because some are no take, some are certain fish you can take, some are catch and release is okay. That's something you want to check into. As far as taking bait off the beach there, I don't think that there's any problem with that at all. Where you do have to, or where you are restricted, rather, from taking any bait, any shells, any mussels, is up in Crystal Cove. Crystal Cove is the little gem of surf fishing allowed in the Laguna area. South of there, it's completely off limits entirely. But when it comes to Crystal Cove, you can still fish there, but you need to import your own bait into there. So
really?
If you have sand crabs or worms. Or
okay, explain that to me.
It has, for many years prior to the MLPA, been closed to any collection of
shells or rocks or sand crabs
yeah. or mussel or any of those things along there. And it's been that way for many, many years. When it came up that the MLPAs were going to come into effect, which is actually when I first started doing my seminars up there the very first year, all of the rangers and I got together and they said, we're not going to let this thing go through here. We're going to push through to have fishing available here because we're going to lose so many clients who come to these state parks if we don't do that. And I said, there's no way you're going to do that. And believe it or not, they were able to get that through.
Wow.
Good, man.
Yeah, that's good news. So there are places you can't take sand crabs. Check your local regulations.
Exactly.
If you're in a state park, talk to the state park rangers. Make sure that you have your fishing license with you.
Yeah, that's
when you're on
right.
the beach, right?
Right. The rangers there will enforce the Department of Fish and Wildlife laws.
I've been checked by the rangers on state park beaches, so absolutely do that. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Ed and Mira Mesa, you're up next on Let's Talk Cookup. What's up, Ed?
Morning, Ed.
Hi, guys. Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Merry Christmas to you,
too. You too, Ed.
Yeah, Bill, I have a question. When would you use a Texas rig compared to a Carolina rig?
You know, they're pretty interchangeable. I think a Carolina rig is going to be a slicker rig for you if you have any situation where you might be snagged, get a snagging situation where you're fishing adjacent to rocks or off a jetty. But all in all, I'd say they're probably pretty comparable.
Maybe explain the difference between the two. Somebody's not familiar, like a Texas rig being a rig where the sinker slides right to the hook, right, and then the Carolina rig with the swivel. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, if you're
keeper up above it or something like that.
Right, with a Carolina, which people like to use a Carolina keeper, although I sometimes shy away from them because they have a tendency to attract kelp weeds and stuff in the water, a little bit larger than a swivel would be. But the Texas rig, I mean, that's a great rig for fishing the grub. So you can fish the grub, you can have a little sliding sinker or a little bullet, or I'm trying to think of a worm sinker that you'd use in freshwater for bass fishing up above, and that would work well for you. But as I said, with that rig, you have a greater chance of it being snagged than you would by having a smaller sinker like an 1/8-ounce sliding sinker up above it on the Carolina rig.
Got it.
Yeah.
Good info.
Yeah, really good info. Thanks a lot for the call. I want to back up for just a second about licenses in the surf. Okay, you do in California need a fishing license if you're 16 years or older in the surf.
Yes.
Right? In Mexico, you do not.
In Mexico, you do not.
Not and need a fishing license when you're fishing from the beach.
And in Hawaii, you do not need one.
Oh,
either.
You don't need one in Hawaii either.
You just need a license in Hawaii for freshwater fishing.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
You don't need a saltwater license?
No, you do not.
What if you're on a boat?
I don't believe you do. Unless that has changed in the last year or two, I don't believe
you do. I didn't know that. Yeah. So you need a freshwater license? You knew this?
I do. Yeah. At least my take has always been that same.
Yeah, because there's not that many freshwater lakes.
Right. You could probably count on one hand the people who've freshwater fished in Hawaii.
About that. Yeah.
There's good peacock fishing in Kauai.
Yeah.
It's all over the place.
Yeah,
there's all kinds of, little reservoirs and things like that.
Yeah, used to be sugar plantation reservoirs and stuff like that, yeah.
And I understand there's some really good trout fishing there, too. I've seen some really big trout up there.
Come on!
Yeah, I'm serious.
Where would that be?
But nobody fishes on Kauai. But nobody fishes there in the freshwater. Very few people.
I'll be darned. Yeah, well, I guess you get a lot of rain and you get a lot of fresh water. And it's cold enough for trout. Why not?
Absolutely.
Right?
There's guides in Hawaii that you can hire that's like a dude with his pickup truck. And, like, you know, you drive around all, like, the local spots. And they're small. You know, they're small farm ponds where you'll catch two or three fish and then hop in the truck. And, you know, go up to the next one and then catch one or two more and then go up to the next one. And
how
it's pretty cool.
That?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, that sounds like a good time for sure. But in Mexico, I think that's just fantastic. What an opportunity for people to go down there. If they're not going to fish, you can take a surf fishing rod and just walk out your door and fish from the surf.
Absolutely. And there's so many places down there, really anywhere where you have the ocean lapping on the shore, you can fish down there.
Yeah, pretty
cool. That's cool.
All right. Phones are packed. Let's jump back into it.
Let's go to Fullerton. We're going to talk to Lou's up next. What's up, Lou? Welcome to the show.
Oh, nice to hear from you, Lou.
Hey, happy holidays to everybody.
Same to you.
Thank you, Lou.
Hey, Bill. Yeah. Hey, Bill, I was glad to hear you mention a name from the past, old Fred Oakley. He was quite the fisherman, and I met him in the late 60s on the jetties. But my point is that we've run into a lot of old-timers, you know, Dow, the Nakanos, Tim Rock, and all those guys that taught us how to fish the surf, high tide and low tide. So, you know, the high tide means a lot. There's also beaches in the Ventura and Santa Barbara counties that you can fish low tide and still catch some good fish. So don't restrict yourselves to just the high tide or the slack. Fish them both, and you'll be very successful.
Absolutely.
Did I hear you mention one of the most legendary surf fishing gurus of all time, Del Marsh?
Oh, yeah, for Mr. Variety? Absolutely. The perch derby from the late 60s out of Wiley's up until the 80s when they closed down because of lack of participation from clubs. Those boys were always out there, you know, day in and day out. And then, you know, Tim Rock passed away on that terrible accident in Baja. And, you know, we lost a good friend there. So, Those guys at my age right now, we thank all them for what they taught us. And, Bill, you're just passing the torch along to the next generation.
Well, thank you so much. You know, Fred was a close friend of mine, and he was my boss. When I was about 8 or 9, I used to work at, or I wanted to work, I should say, in a tackle shop. TC's Bait and Tackle. I used to hang out in there, and the owner got so sick of me. And he said, we got this guy coming in. He's our bait guy, and maybe you can work for him, and we'll put you in touch with him. So Fred came in, and big smile, and he said, I'm going to take you out tonight. I'm going to show you how to catch some sand crabs. So that started in about 1967. I worked for him for about 10 years. But the thing about Fred that was fantastic was not only was he the world's casting champion for about 12 consecutive years. I think Ron Aura, I think, is the guy who finally beat him. But also he held numerous, and he still holds them, world records for fishing. He held the world record for Mako shark until about 20 years ago. He held this record for about 20 years, and Fred did not know how to swim, and he rarely went on boats, so he caught this fish on the beach. It was really a phenomenal story about that. So he holds the current barred surf perch record and numerous other records. And before Fred passed away, he did say to me, Bill, if you do anything in life, if you can go on and pass on the things that I taught you. Really a wonderful
that's cool.
Very thoughtful.
There's probably a great book that could be written about some of the characters fishing the surf, right?
There really could be. Yeah. I mean, there's so many. There's a living legend, Ron Schmidt, still around, who lives up in the South Bay, who was a good friend of Fred's and has caught incredible fish. So many fish.
You also had Red Devil and
that's
Scotty
right.
And all those boys.
Exactly. You sure did. All of those legends. It would be great to have all the information they had.
It's yeah, cool. Indeed. Hey, Lou, thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. You know, before time gets away from us, I want you to talk about the different things you do to teach people how to surf fish.
In other words, the seminars and that type of thing?
Yeah, seminars, mm-hmm. Website, book, the whole thing. I mean, people are – probably one of the most requested things I get via email is, what do I do? I want to take my kids surf fishing, or I want to go learn more about surf fishing. What do I do? Where do I go? How do I do it?
That's a great question. You know, surf fishing is such a fabulous thing because you can go down for just a couple hours with your kids or your wife or your friend. They can watch or they can participate, and you can really have a great time down there. A really good way to learn is, first of all, go online. There's a lot of good sites. My site, fishthesurf.com, of course, a great site. SC Surf Fishing, which is a forum online where people post reports and pictures, is a great place to learn. Not only do you learn on that site where they catch the fish, but what they're using for bait, how they rig, and so forth.
Yeah, I think BD Outdoors has mm-hmm. a surf fishing portal, right?
Exactly. BD Outdoors has got one. SoCal Surf Rats, which is our sister internet site. They've also got all kinds of postings of surf fishing in there. So that's a good place to start. If you go on my site, you'll find numerous articles on there that I've written for Western Outdoor News, Fish Taco Chronicles, and others that you can read. Then you can pick up my book, Surf Fishing, The Lightline Revolution. It's available at almost every tackle shop. You get it down at Rick's shop or anywhere. You can find it online at my tackle shop, which is surffishtackle.com. I do seminars in numerous tackle shops. Those are normally throughout the winter. I'll have 6 to 8 of them at the Fred Hall Show. I'll be the keynote speaker of the Fred Hall Show. So before the Thursday opening show, we'll have about an hour and a half seminar in there, and then we'll have some fantastic giveaways.
Is that the one you did with Cousins?
Exactly, with Cousins and Pure Fishing last year. We'll do that again this year, so that'll be great.
Awesome. At the Fred Hall Long Beach Show.
At Fred Hall Long Beach and Del Mar.
Del Mar will also be
the seminars, and then at Long Beach, we'll also have the before show. And then the number one thing to do for sure is the on-the-beach seminars.
Yeah, that's cool.
It's really the way to go. It's May, June, July, August, and September. They start at Crystal Cove. They go to Bolsa Chica, San Alejo, up to Carlsbad, Carlsbad, and then up to Carpinteria, and then back down to Bolsa Chica, and we'll teach you right on the beach how to surf fish. We provide all the bait. We'll take about 20 minutes and go over rigging. We'll make our way down to the sand, spread out, catch some fish, have a great time.
How many people in the group?
We normally limit it to 50 people.
50, wow, okay. And you can sign up online?
You can sign up online. The best thing to do is just go to the front page of my website, fishthesurf.com. There's a little box on the bottom right-hand corner where you sign up for our free newsletter. Whoever's on that list will get the notification first. that these seminars are available. They do fill up in maybe an hour or 2 hours, very, very quickly.
As soon as you put them on.
As soon as I put them on.
Wow.
That's rad, man. That's so rad.
All right, let's jump back into the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Tom? He's calling from Temecula. What's up, Tom? Welcome to the show.
Morning, guys, and happy Christmas to you guys.
Thank you.
Bill, I'm pretty much a wannabe surf fisherman, but I would probably like to focus more on the artificials. And I know you use the Rapalas. Are those all floating that you use, and do you use any of the diving ones? And then for Mexico, I know crocodiles are a phenomenal lure down there from the beach. Would you use a deep diving like a Magnum, a small bait there as well?
Yes, what I would definitely use is I would use a suspension bait in the surf. So, like when we were all kids and we had Rapalas back in the day, when we called them Rapalas, before they were Rapalas, we would reel for bonita fishing, let's say, and they would float up to the surface when we would stop reeling. Well, these suspension baits, how they work now is they go down to about 6 to 9 meters down, depending on how deep you're fishing, and they have a couple of weighted rattles in them. So when you stop retrieving, the bait actually stays suspended at whatever level it's at that current time. So you're normally looking for a suspension lure rather than a deep diving or a floating lure. You'd want a suspension lure when you're surf fishing the beach. And then as far as fishing down on the East Cape, of course, you know, the Rapala, the Rapala, I mean, all of those things are going to work. The Lucky Craft work great. But open up your mind a little bit. One thing that works great down there are poppers, like Zara Spook poppers.
Ooh.
They work really well for fishing in the surf.
Rangers.
The Rangers work well. Like if you're fishing over in the Pacific side, you're going to fish a Ranger, a skinny, heavier steel type of bait that you can cast a long distance. And then when you're in the Sea of Cortez, which is much calmer, you have a wide variety of lures that you can use that are the crocodiles, the Castmasters, the Lucky Craft, and so forth. But what I prefer to use down there is a couple of secret things, and I'll give those tips today. One is something that we used years ago, and I know that Pete used this when he was a kid, bobber and feather. We used to use those in King Harbor for fishing for bonito.
Bonito, yeah.
You can cast those. You get the bobbers that you fill with water, fill about halfway full of water, about a 3 to 4 foot leader on it with a bonito feather, and cast that off of the East Cape as far out as you can, really all the way down to Cabo San Lucas.
Splash it's like that a regular lead-headed bonito feather.
It's a non-lead-headed bonita feather. It's just the feather itself on usually like a 1-0 size hook.
Okay, almost like a fly.
Almost like a fly, exactly, like using the fly. Uh-huh. And then the other technique that we use is we use a half-ounce chrome sinker, and then below that we tie about 2 to 3 feet of 12-pound fluorocarbon or heavier, and then tie a needlefish to that you'd use for freshwater trolling. Cast that out in a sandy area, allow it to sink to the bottom, and then retrieve that back towards shore.
How fast?
Normally a slow retrieval. I'll usually retrieve on all my lures slow, fast, and a stop and start and find out which one I get a bite on.
Needlefish.
But the needlefish, what will happen is that sinker will bump along the sand and create a little attention and, of course, be shiny. And that needlefish will be flopping behind that thing, and those fish will come right up on
really?
It.
Really?
Cool.
Jump right on. Good tips. Yeah, you know, very similar to what you were talking about would be the fly in a bubble they use a lot in the Sierras, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's just like a fly in a bubble in the Sierras.
Okay.
Sierras have a much slower retrieve, though.
Yeah. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Henry in Santa Cruz, you're next up to join us here on Let's Talk Google. What's up, Henry?
Henry.
Hey, good morning, guys. Merry Christmas to everybody.
Same to
you.
Thank
too, you. Henry.
Hey, I had a question. I've got, I do a lot of surf fishing, and they put a lot of the marine protected areas in here. And I can't find a good map or a good GPS that's oriented towards towards the land side. You know, nothing that shows streets, parking lots, things like that. Bill, have you seen anything that has either an app for your phone that really shows the marine protected areas from a beach perspective?
I know there is an app for the phone. I don't have the web address of what that is, but there is an app for the phone that will actually is an alarm that when you go into those marine protected areas will go off on your phone.
Really?
And let
what
you
a
know,
good idea.
Let you know your left foot is inside the zone. But without that technology, a really good way to do it, this is what I use all the time, is I will go, like, to my site, for example, or Department of Fish and Wildlife site, and they'll have somewhat of an aerial view of where it is located on the beach. I'll kind of note where that is, and then I'll go on Google Earth, and I'll be able to zone in exactly where it is, find the streets that go right to it, and where I can park. And I'll do that many times in surf fishing. And also on that Google Earth, you can actually look along that on the coast and find holes, structure areas.
Oh, he's giving
like
away
that.
Another top secret here, right?
I'm killing myself there.
Wow, that's a good one.
So,
and a lot of times, right on the edge of those MPAs, good fishing, right?
Really good fishing there. And you know, as far as the enforcement of those MPAs is concerned, it's at the warden's discretion. Most of the wardens, though, certainly the ones that I know and I work with, will come in and give you a warning. And as long as it's not an egregious thing that they know you've been in there, they know you've been doing this, they'll certainly give you a chance to move on and tell you where the line of delineation is.
There you go. All right. Thanks a lot for the call this morning.
All right. How about next up, we talk to Neil, who's calling from Temecula this morning. Neil, good morning. Thanks for joining us.
Neil.
Hey, good morning. Hey, you kind of touched on what I wanted to ask you about a little bit. First of all, is the Bonita still run in the San Gabriel River mouth? I grew up fishing those with homemade splashers and feathers, and that was a blast. And my second question was, I want to upgrade my son's fishing reel to a waterproof one that they recommend for ocean fishing. He's kind of graduated from knocking around the cheap equipment on the jetties, and I think it's time for him to. I'd like to get him something special.
Nice
for
little Christmas
graduation.
Gift. Oh, okay, college graduation.
Oh yeah, there you go. Perfect. Well, first of all, yes, there still are Bonito up there. There haven't been for years, and in the last year and a half, they've been up there. They haven't been big ones. They've been in a 1 to 3 or 4 pound range. But yes, you go down to the edge of the jetty there and just fish along where the jetty meets the water just north of Seal Beach there. And there's quite a few
minimum
Bonito
size on Bonito? I don't know.
I believe, I'll look before you go back, but I believe it's like yellowtail where you can have 5 of any size and then you have to have a certain fork length. But I'll try and look it up before we
so if you're
pop
keep
in the break
on, make
there.
Sure that you abide by the regulations.
And it's funny we're on this subject because for so many years, dozens of years, you couldn't catch a bonito for the surf. It would be such an unusual catch, a surf tuna, we call it.
Yeah.
But they're back. And last year up at Malibu was phenomenal for bonito fishing just right offshore. They would push the bait into shore and boil right offshore and you just cast.
So
the boils,
fun.
There they were.
So much fun.
Grew up catching bonito when I was a kid. I was like, oh, man. And then they disappeared.
Then they disappeared, and hopefully they're on the way back. I think they love that clear, clean water.
And anchovies.
And anchovies, that's right. But as far as the reels are concerned, that's a very good question about reels. And what I always recommend is when you buy a rod for surface fishing, the sky's the limit. You know, if you want to go out and spend $200 or $300, $400 on a surf rod, as long as you take care of it a little bit, wash it off, dry it off, it's going to last a lifetime. You can hand it down to the grandkids. As far as the reel's concerned, the opposite of that's true. You're going to go through 1, 2, 3 reels a year if you surf fish much. Because sand, whether it gets on your hands or on your line or in the wind or you drop your rod into the sand, you're going to get sand inside the reel.
It happens.
There hasn't been any real effective sealed reels made that you can use in the surf. The ones that have been made have been primarily made by Berkley Pure Fishing for fishing a striper on the East Coast, but they're very heavy and very expensive. Berkley Pure Fishing redesigned the Battle 2 reel a couple of years ago where they did a couple of really smart things. They sealed the bearings in the bottom, and the bottom is no longer able to be unscrewed and taken. Like most spinning reels, it's a clamshell type of shape at the bottom of it, and you unscrew a couple screws, it comes apart. Because of that seam, sand would get in there. With a Penn Battle 2 reel, sand cannot get in the bottom end there, and it really seems to last a lot longer. But stay in the $35 to $100 range, basically.
Get a quality a reel, like reel. You were mentioned earlier, the Shimano Sedona.
Shimano Sedona, yeah, Sienna, like really, any of those Shimano
higher end, like a nicer nicer spinning reels, and it's going
exactly.
to last a lot longer.
And you'll find those well under $100.
Yeah, indeed. Hey, thanks a lot for the call this morning.
Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Cook-Up coming your way, including finding out who's got themselves about as nice of a surf fishing rod as a guy can get. We're giving away the Cousins Bill Varney surf rod of more Let's Talk Cook-Up on the Mighty 1090.
XERRS 1090 AM Rosarito, Baja California.
You're listening to the home of the Aztecs.
He's gone. Touchdown. Aztecs.
San Diego's sports leader. The Mighty 1090.
Happy holidays from Fisherman's Landing Tackle. This is Doug Kern. Be sure to get that saltwater angler on your list what they really want. A gift from Fisherman's Landing Tackle and Shimano. We have the best Shimano has to offer, including Talica, Trinidad A, Therese, Stella, Saragossa, Tranx, Terramar, Waxwing, Cold Sniper, Butterfly, Torium, Tiagra, and too much more from Shimano Dimension. Bottom line, we have the most complete selection of Shimano saltwater tackle and the knowledge to help you pick out the perfect gift. Check out our web specials and much more at saltwatertackle.com or come by and see us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Fisherman's Landing has been the choice of sport fishing anglers for decades with the largest fleet of long-range boats worldwide, complemented by Southern California's finest charter and open party fleet. From a half-day trip on the Dolphin to overnight trips or a long-range adventure, you can count on Fisherman's Landing to deliver the best. Check the website for all that is going on or call Fisherman's Landing at 619-221-8500. Book now at fishermanslanding.com.
This is Captain Art Taylor of the 95-Foot Searcher. Team Searcher would like to thank all of our great customers for their support in our fantastic 2015 season. The Searcher has a fantastic crew, great food, air-conditioned cabins and galley, satellite TV, and an RSW system to preserve your catch. Our 2016 schedule is out, so don't miss the boat. Book your trip online at searchersportfishing.com or call Celia and Jen at 619-226-2403. That's 619-226-2403.
Hey, this is Captain Paul Hebert from the Wicked Pissa. My brother Bruce and I make a living catching giant bluefin tuna. In fact, I wouldn't even go fishing with any other sunglasses than Maui Jim. Put a pair of Maui Jims on and instantly the glare is gone, the UV that can damage your eyes is gone, the ocean's true colors come shining through like never before. And with more contrast and clarity, you can see the bluefin at that critical time. Take it from me. Try a pair at your local tackle shop or check out MauiJim.com. You won't believe your eyes.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup on the Mighty 1090. All right, the big winner of the brand new Cousins Surf Fishing Bill Varney rod is going to Rich in Bradley. Rich, congratulations. You are going to love that new outfit.
You are going to love it. And I want to thank Dave Morgan, our good buddy there, for telling us about Fish Alerts as the app that he uses. And you went, oh, yes.
That's the one.
That's the one for the MPAs.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Fish Alerts.
Fish Alerts.
So
and that'll let you know where it is and if you're in it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Wow. Okay.
I didn't even know that was a thing. I dig that, man. That's cool.
Download that one for sure. Anyway, Bill, thank you very much. Great job. And
Great job, thank you
for the Cousins for giving us that great rod. And if somebody wants to join in on any of the great things that you do, from the clinics to the book to the website, how do we work that?
Best thing to do is go to fishthesurf.com, sign up on our front page for the newsletter there. You'll be in touch. And I send out tips every week on surf fishing, a couple of tips, and then at least once a month a newsletter with an article in it covering subjects from Baja all the way to the Hawaiian Islands.
Good for you. Oh, that's fantastic. Well, thanks. We'll look forward to having you back. And we'll look forward to seeing you at the Fred Hall Show,
Long Beach
and Del Mar.
Both places, can't wait.
Be fantastic. And I wish everybody a merry, merry Christmas. I hope you all have a very safe and fantastic holiday. And same with my buddy Rock Cod Rick and, of course, Adam behind the board there and Ryan Christensen and his family. Merry, merry Christmas to all of you. We'll be back the day after Christmas. That's next Saturday with Dwayne Diego and John White from Dana Landing. Then, next Sunday, the last show of the year, Jim Salazar, our lobster guru, will be right in here. Thanks for listening today. We'll be back next Saturday and Sunday right here on the Mighty 1090.